Thank you, praise the Lord, for being here tonight. I heard from our pastor. mentioned that when I talked to him, he had 2 hours to go. So let's continue praying for him and pray for a safe journey back home. Bless him during the conference. Well, I guess I'm the ram in the bush tonight. I just want to say that, well, first of all, bear with me. I'm going to, I broke my record glasses, so I'm going to old glasses, so bear with my reading tonight. I know some probably say you can't read anymore, but I just my heart is somewhat heavy tonight. Today being my birthday, I have two disaffirmed. I'm a young 66 years old.
Amen.
Thank God. Sometimes I have to ask my wife, how old am I? How old am I supposed to be? I just asked her a week ago. I think y'all at the camp asked me. I had to look at my wife, how old am I going to be? So anyways, but I have two. I have one sister who had her first son. She had seven children. Her first son and her last son both were born on my birthday. And I called the oldest one today. He always sends me cards for different holidays and special occasions for my birthday. And we talked today, and he has such an infectious laugh. If he, when he first answers the telephone, he just breaks out in a laughter. And I love him so much. And we talked today, we were just laughing and enjoying each other. And after I got off the phone, I believe it was maybe an hour later. I don't know how to say this though, but he was arrested for murder. And it's a murder that was about 35 years ago. And it's believed that he had nothing to do with it. So I want you to lift him up in prayer that God will intervene and take hold of the entire situation. And it just was really hard to bear today, the contrast going from laughter and happiness to such sadness. So just remember him in prayer. The people accusing him, we had the one lady on our prayer list who had passed away, but pray for their family too, in Jesus' name. All right, we just want to let you know that I heard from Elder Mackey today too. Also, he had mentioned that he went to the VA hospital today, and he said it's not asthma, that he has some type of mucus or something in his lungs or his chest, and he received medication for that. I guess some type of liquid or pill, and he said it leaves him quite drowsy. So he let me know he wouldn't be here tonight, but he wants to get himself together for Sunday. All right, I'm gonna get into where I'm gonna hold too long tonight and try to pay attention to my time here. All right. I'd like for you to turn to Timothy, boy, I thank God for the light here tonight. Another place it was very hard to see. I'd like for you to turn to Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4. Now, I'm going to try to teach tonight, talk tonight. I'm not going to be one of those S speakers tonight, spit, stomp, and shout. Right. Why not? I won't have to clean the mic off after I get done. All right? In Timothy, Paul's son in the gospel. And we see in 2 Timothy, Paul being the author, and the theme of this book was the last of the three pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And we see Paul was giving instructions concerning church order and doctrine and discipline. But I want to speak tonight on, it's all in the family of, let's say, itching ears or popular opinion, or it deals also with peer pressure. In Timothy, it says in the third verse, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Are we ever living in such an age? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto faith," getting into false teaching. Before we go any further, we just want to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We ask you to break up the fallow ground of our heart, that we may receive your word. Help us to bring forth your word. Oh God, these blessings we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a day and time that in Romans the 12th chapter in the 2nd verse it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." And we know that being conformed, it always takes my mind back to first and second grade, how we used to, in art classes, I believe it was, the section in our class, we never left the room, we had so many classes in one room. I came up in school where two rows was first grade and two rows was second grade. Teacher would teach this two rows and she'd go and teach this two rows while it's under study. But we had a period of time that we got into art, you know, paste and drawing and things like that. But we used to take paper and they would have us fold that paper, and then they would have us with scissors cut out a pattern, maybe of a person or a star or a snowflake. And then when you would unfold it, you would have a pattern of several, maybe 5 to 10 of all the same designs of that person or that snowflake. And it was, they were all alike. But we see, we live in a day and time, we live in a day and time that the Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world." Now, according to popular opinion, we have, especially with our youth today, they face peer pressure that we've never faced before. I mean, if we disagreed with something, we may have went outside and or after school and duked it out a little bit, and hours later we had arms around each other and we were best of friends in a couple hours. But now the peer pressure is it's electronic now. It's on the internet, it's on Facebook. And they have a way to turn people that don't even know against you. And it's very hard to stand up for what you believe in or what you believe is right or be your own self because of peer pressure. And then we as adults, and especially politics or what have you, we live in a day and time of popular opinion. And we're looked upon as outcasts if we don't go along with the program. But saints of God, I want to let you know, we live in a day and time we are going to have to take a stand. If you are a saint of God, we are in a day and time that you are going to have to many times stand alone. So the Bible lets us know in Proverbs, before I go further, in Proverbs, it says in the first chapter of Proverbs, I think Zoe's calling the elderly Tinsley again. That's right. I'm 66 years old. In Proverbs, the first chapter, if you can turn to that. In Proverbs, the first chapter, beginning with verse 10, wisdom. It says in that verse, it says, My son, if sinners entice you, if they entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go along with the program. Don't go along with it. It says, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent, even without cause. And you know that's the day and time we live in now. People will hit you upside your head for no reason. Oh, a voice. I just heard a voice, or I just felt like it, or I was going through something. Kill you, rock for no reason. But the Bible says, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. Let's go rob this house. They're not home. And what we gather, we can put together, we'll split it up. Let's go out tonight and mug somebody. I saw on the news not too long ago, these three guys killed somebody. They said, why'd you do it? Well, we just want to go out and kill somebody. We don't know why. We just felt like doing it to see what it felt like. And they called their friends, come on, go with us. Let's do this. And if you didn't do it, you were considered a coward or whatever they call you this day and time. But it says in verse 18, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot. In other words, come along with us, among us, and let us all have one purse. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. Now, I don't know if that's a misprint or what have you, though. It sounds like they're talking about themselves. But it says they lurk privately in their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now the Bible says the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith.
Yes. That's right.
The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hard iron. Have you seen people in the neighborhoods or around you get through to them? What they believe in, it just doesn't make sense, and you can't get through to them. The way some of them dress, the way some of them carry themselves, the disrespect and what have you, and it seems as though you just, they're just set in their own ways, and you can't talk to them. And they won't be what they want to be, no matter what. No matter if it makes sense or not. And see, their conscience is seared. Conscience is seared. And it says, when we say, be not conformed to this world, I'll get to the main portion here in a minute. Be not conformed. Jesus, the Bible says, Mark, the perfect man. Jesus Christ is our perfect example.
Right.
Not pastors, not bishops and evangelists, but Paul says, follow me as I follow So you can follow the pastor laws as he or she follows Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is our perfect example. Nobody else. Nothing else. So, in this day and time, I think about David. And saints of God, if you want to live holy, if you really want to be saved, if you really want to make it and do the will of God, there are going to be moments when you will have to stand alone.
Yes.
Now, I've heard about David. Now, David, when David was, when he went to fight Goliath, Israel was against him. The children of Israel, they were against him. What you come down here for? Practically called him a young punk trying to gain fame and what have you. His family was against him. And surely the enemy was against him, the Philistines. And surely Goliath. But David, he said, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. And he had to stand in the gap where he stood alone. Nobody. Nobody on his side. But he stood in the gap. We, in this day and time, with the doctrines of men and demons, with all the secularism, with all the popular opinions, with the peer pressures, even in the church. I'll say that again. Even in the church. Do you know you can provoke someone to spiritual jealousy because you want to walk up right before God? Don't you know somebody can come into church, you could have been there 10, 15 years, somebody come into church, and in 5 years they pass, caught up with you, passed you, and went way beyond you, being used of God, and people, some people look at, well, you know, who do you think they are? What do they think they're doing? Spiritual jealousy.
Right.
But we see David stood in the gap, and we may have to stand in the gap in this day and time. Because as we said before, the Spirit of God is being drawn out the window, is narrowing and getting smaller. But we say, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Examine ourselves. Are you ashamed of this? Are we ashamed to take this step? Do you know that you barely hear the name of Jesus anymore, anywhere? And you don't hear baptism in Jesus' name anymore? You don't hear much or anything about the Holy Ghost anymore? But it's right. It's still right. And I thought about this the end time. They talk about ISIS and things of that magnitude, how they are killing Christians. Lord have mercy. I said, Lord, if that day ever comes, help me go through. What if we can't stand, if we can't make a stand and stand in the gap for minor things, how are we going to do it when a gun is pointed at our head and telling us to denounce our Jesus Christ, our Savior? But Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me here, he says in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And he says, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I'm going over to Mark and explain that a little bit. Some people say, well, I thought we're supposed to, you know, save ourselves from this untoward generation. But it doesn't have reference to that point. It means that, let me put it this way. If you go to a family reunion, all right? You go to your family reunion, and everybody's drinking, and you're not. And they start making fun of you because you ain't dancing to all the hip-hop music or what have you. And you're going to stand out. You may be criticized. Are you going to say, okay, I'll take a little sip, I'll dance a little bit? You're saving yourself. Popular opinion, peer pressure. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to be the outcast. I don't want to be the one talked about. I don't want to be the one scorned and laughed at and mocked. So I'll join in. That's saving yourself. But the Bible says that and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Right.
So it really lets us know habitually we follow regardless of the price. We follow regardless of the price, even unto death. Not only when it is easy, not only when it is convenient. See, it's easy to come in here where everybody, we all worshiping God. We all believe in the same thing. We all believe in the baptism in Jesus' name. We all believe in the Holy Ghost. We all shout and sing and praise God. This is easy. It's convenient. But what about when you're behind closed doors? What about when you're with somebody, ungodly friends on the job or wherever it might be, or family who are unsaved, or family reunions, or at a basketball game, or what have you? That's when it becomes not so convenient. So it lets us know that this is the last of four things one must do to save, to be saved after being born again. Continue willing to follow Jesus. Deny himself daily. Renounce all self-dependence, self-interest, and self-pursuits which are contrary to God. Taking up the daily cross, that's suffering daily. Follow Christ daily.
Yes.
Not just for a while, but all the time.
Right.
All the time. To lose it or deny himself for whatever is necessary to win Christ. He shall save his soul. What a man loses in this life because of his consecration to God and his daily denial of self-will, he will be repaid hundreds of fold.
Right.
In this life, with eternal life and eternal inheritance,
yes,
in the world to come.
Amen.
The Bible said, ear have not seen, I have not seen the things that God had prepared for us.
Amen.
So I want to let you know that when, if we consent, if we go along with the program, Lord knows where we might end up. God knows what might. Some people say, well, I was just there. Some people don't know. I was just there, or I just drove the car. I didn't know what they were going to do. You know, this lowest form of discernment is common sense. The lowest form of discernment is common sense. If you have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you this brief story. If you have the Holy Ghost, something should rise up in you that something's just not right with this picture. I'm not going, something's just not right here. And people don't realize that if you just was along for the ride, if you were just in the air and you drove the car and somebody that was with you killed somebody, you're just as guilty. You're just as guilty. But the lowest form of discernment is common sense. Now, I know of a man that was a pastor of a church. He said, I got a phone call. First of all, he was calling all the sisters in the church, hey, babe, hey, babe. I said, Pastor, you should be calling them. baby, hey baby, you know, good baby, things of that magnitude. I said, that's unkosher, that's not good, that's not good. So he got a phone call one morning to come to this house for breakfast. And the lady said her husband was there. So he goes. When he goes into the house, he don't see no husband. So where's your husband? Oh, well, he just had to run out for a minute. Now, if you got a hold of something should be something should be stirring you up. And she said, oh, he'll be right back. She goes upstairs, he's sitting at the breakfast table, and she comes down. I'll end it right there. Because what she had on when she went up, she didn't have it on when she came down. And I was talking to him, he was crying. He said, I don't like the district, I would have did this to me. I said, listen, you got to be accountable for what you've done. Don't blame the district or anything of that magnitude. But I always thought, I said, if you had the Holy Ghost, would be talking to you. I mean, something should rise up in you to warn you that something's wrong with this picture. Well, you can imagine the rest of the story. All right? So in Chronicles, I'm just trying to tell you that if we don't take this stand, young people, take a stand. All of us, take a stand. Forget about popular opinion. Forget about peer pressure. And we live in a day and time that young people they call it bullying. But the Bible lets you know, no, God answers your prayers too. Not just mine, because I'm older, I've been here longer. God will answer your prayers. But also the Bible says a kind word will turn away wrath. God will always make a way of escape. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. But we see here in Chronicles, see, when you get with the wrong crowd, back in our days, we used to call the in crowd. I don't know what you call it now. But if you follow and hang with the wrong people, it can lead you, it can harm you, it can lead you to places you never ever thought you'd ever be. So I want to go to this story in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter. And we see that in the 18th chapter, in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, it says, now Jehoshaphat, he had riches, and he had honor, okay? And he had it in abundance. But he joined affinity with Ahab. In other words, it was a close relationship. Let me just put it that way. And so we see here in verse 2 that after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab had this huge feast. It says that he killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him. I guess his entourage, as they call it nowadays. And that he persuaded him to go with him to Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, this is after the civil strife that was between the children of Israel. We see that Ahab was the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And Ahab, the king, he said unto him, king of Judah, he said, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou. You know, saving face, popular opinion, peer pressure. Oh, we're cool. We're all the same. Instead, you just say, no, I don't think so. We're going back. No. Whatever you say. And so, he said, And my people as my people are as thy people. And we will be with thee in war. Right? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, he says, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore, the king of Israel, he gathered together of prophets 400 men and said unto them, shall we go? Shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we not go? And they all said, go. God will deliver it unto the king's hands. What about these prophets? But Jehoshaphat, see, when he became king, he was one of the better kings. He got rid of the idols and the groves and worshiping the Lord, and he didn't feel comfortable with that part of it. And he said, wait a minute, that's fine. And he must have discerned that something's wrong with all these prophets here. Something's just not gel. Something's just not right. And he goes on to say, he says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Now, how did he know that these others were not prophets of the Lord? Why? Because of 400 of them, many of them, and they all spoke the same thing. People believe, well, it must be right. They all said it. And so he said, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Remember what we was talking about, itching ears? Now, when I was growing up, and they put food on the table, my mother said, you eat everything on that plate. I couldn't push the carrots to the side. I couldn't push the Brussels sprouts to the side and just eat the mashed potatoes and the fried chicken. Because that's what I like, and that's what tastes good to me. And I didn't like the carrots or the Brussels sprouts. But my mother says, you're not getting up from that table until you eat everything on that plate. You have to eat it all. And if you don't eat it all, you'll sit there until you do eat it all. I don't even think we have Brussels sprouts. I'm too poor to even buy that. But see, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You can't push nothing aside and say, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. You got to eat the whole thing. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God is like the table is spread and everything's on that plate spiritually. You got to eat it all. You can't slip nothing under the table to the dog. Right. Throw nothing out to the hogs or the chickens. That's what we used to do. Yeah. I don't know how people ate with dogs hanging around under the table and all that. But anyways. But see, you got to eat the whole thing. So, it says here in verse 6, Jehoshaphat said, is there not? We spoke about itching ears. There's people that come to church, they want to pick and choose what's being said. I always tell people when you come to church, wear your steel-toed shoes. Might get your toes stepped on. But I always pray, God, break up the foul ground in my heart for me to receive what I need. And a lot of times it may not be what I want to hear. It may not feel good. But God, I thank you anyways. Lord, I thank you. I don't look around and say, I wish brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so was here. I thank God I'm here. Amen. Feed me. Help me, Lord. And then there's those messages of encouragement, like eating good old fried chicken. But there's some messages of some Brussels sprouts, carrots, Greetings. What happened? So he says here in verse 7, the king of Israel said unto him, oh yeah, there's a man. We got a man. But I don't like him. I hate him, matter of fact. I don't just don't like him. I hate him. Because he never tells me anything good. Lord have mercy. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil. Why? Because he was telling the truth. He was telling what God gave him. And it says, let's turn to Revelations, something, Revelations 16th chapter, I believe. Revelations 16th chapter. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord. In Revelation 16 chapter, it says in verse 13, it says, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. False prophets. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Lord have mercy. When the people see the Antichrist or these demons working miracles, you know they're going to believe they are of God. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. We're talking about Armageddon. Talking about the Euphrates that will be dried up so the armies of the north and what have you can pass through. And it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And it says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. They're going to have these, I missed the part, where these spirits, these devils, they influence the kings of the earth to believe that they can fight against God. To believe that they can fight against God. Saints of God, we, as we said, we wrestle. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. When he talked about this man, Micaiah, he said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, go fetch him quickly, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. He said, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set either of them on his throne and clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before him as they passed by. Yes, go. Go conquer. All right? And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramah Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hands of the king. You know, if you mess with the wrong people, you can be misled. It can cause you some harm. Somebody. Harm, okay? I'll be saying that. Heron, okay, harm. I guess it was something accent that must have slipped up there. And as I read this chapter, I just got to scratch my head because, like I said, the lowest form of discernment is common sense. I mean, just some common sense can be applied here. He says, and the messenger that went up, and the messenger in verse 12, the messenger that went to call Micaiah, he spake to him saying, he said, now, behold, I want to tell you something. Now, the kings, they got these 400 prophets, and they all prophesied good. Now, when you go up there, I want you to fall in line right along with them. I want you to prophesy good, all right? And he says, and the messenger that went with Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one cent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. All right? So Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God said, that will I speak. And it goes on, and when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear? Or in other words, not go. And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered unto your hand. Now, and the king said to him, how many times have I told you or adjure you to speak the truth to me? Now, the king was so used to him, he just said it. He said, every time I hear him, he always speaks evil. And now he's speaking good. So now even the king was saying, well, something's wrong here. Because he's speaking good and going along with everybody else. And that's not like him. And so he goes on and says, and the king said, and how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? And so it came. He said, then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house. Now you see this second statement of to Ahab reveals not only the source of the predictions of the lying prophets, but gives an insight into heaven showing one of the conferences, what I'm getting ready to read, the conferences up there and how things are done in the spirit world. It says in verse 17, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab? The angels, don't you know, demons stand before God, the devil stands before God with false accusations. Given a sign. When people don't want to do what God wants them to do, and they get to the point they just are so stiff-necked and so stubborn, I say, all right. I was watching a program on the television, one of the, well, preachers, supposed to have one of the largest churches. And I said, I was, Lord, why? You know, you see all the hundreds of thousands of people and up in the $47 million salary and the books he sells, or if he goes to a stadium, how much money he gets. All those people in there. And sometimes I just wonder, and you know, when people don't want to live right and do right, they just want to come to that and get that good feeling and hide in that crowd, is what I say. Mm-hmm. And live the life they want to live and don't want to be obedient to the truths of God's word. They're going to get what they deserve. They're going to get just what they deserve. Because after a while, God said, all right, if this is what you want. He allowed them to be deceived. Perhaps he may send demons and spirits to them and let them go on and be deceived. Because there ain't going to be no good in you. And I watched those programs and I said, Lord, have mercy on all those people. All those people. But it says here, and therefore hear the word of the Lord. This is Micaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven, standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake saying after this man, and another saying after that man. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit. I'll go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of not one, not 10, not 50, but all his prophets. How many were there? And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. Go out and do what you said you're going to do. Do you know that people got to understand some things about the spirit world? There's a program on television that's talking. It's called the New York Medium, or what have you, and so on. It has a host or a person that's supposed to be a medium, supposed to be able to contact the dead. And people flock to these people, and they will sit there and say, I had this great uncle that died and we were so close. Can you contact him for me? And the medium will say, well, he said something about a shiny new red Volkswagen that he bought you. And the person get, oh yeah, uncle, I'm crying and everything. Oh, you contacted my uncle. You contacted, yes he did. He bought me a shiny new red Volkswagen. How were they so happy? How were they so happy? You know she was telling the truth? She wasn't talking to the dead though. As a tree falleth, yet that's the way it's going to remain. She was not talking to the dead. She was talking to a familiar spirit. Just like Saul when he went to the soothsayer. That was a familiar spirit that follows individuals, know their in and outs, know everything about them, follow around. And when that person dies, they don't talk no more. Okay? When they die, they don't talk no more. But what she was doing, she was able to encounter the familiar spirit of that person and talk to that familiar spirit. And that familiar spirit was able to reveal all the hidden things that others didn't know. And they paid thousands of dollars to watch this and see. That's why our news is called the medium. It's like they try to dumb us down, not to think for ourselves. And I watch CNN sometime, and I look at them, and it's like comedy hour to me. I said, what? came saying that. He said, the electricity's out here in New York. I said, well, why is she standing in knee-deep water? I said, when all electricity goes underground. Then I said, why are those streetlights on behind me? If all electricity's out. Why, when the bombing in Boston, it was just a setup for them to invite martial law. People, they had prayed for these fools when they were leaving town. Oh, we're glad they came. They just got in all your business. But the thing of it is, they said one of those bombers died and they couldn't find that one. Come on. Whatever happened to the sniffing dogs? Whatever happened to infrared? Then they show these helicopters, they make even private citizens can get them now. These helicopters can see you nighttime as old as day. And they stayed up in Boston for about a week looking for this man. Here he is just laying in a boat with a shallow canvas over him, and the helicopter couldn't find him, couldn't detect heat, and so on. They use these in the war. The police have them. But we sit there and believe it and get all rattled and all shook up, and so on. And they're doing it now about the snow. Oh, gee, what's winter supposed to snow, folks? It is cold. But they dramatize things and to the point of putting so much fear in people's heart. But they think we're just stupid. And some of them are stupid. And it says, in verse 20, and there came out, no, verse 22. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, all those 400 prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, came near and smote Micaiah. He slapped him in the face, in other words, upon the cheek, and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Just mocking him. Reminds me of Jesus Christ when he was mocking him, slapped him. Which one of us hit you? And said, then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah, carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, when you get there, say to the king, put this guy back in jail, put him in prison, feed him with bread of affliction and with water of afflictions until I return in peace. Little did he know he wasn't returning in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then have not the Lord spoken by me. If you come back, I lied to you. God didn't speak to me. But if you don't come back, God spoke to me. And he said, hearken, all ye people. Now, here's the dummy part. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, here again, I'm telling you, Holy Ghost, you've got to kick in here, some common sense. He says, now wait a minute. He says, I will disguise myself. I will disguise myself, and I'll go to the battle, but put down on that robe. Now, you want me to go with you to war and fight, and you're going to disguise yourself and look like one of the regular soldiers, and I'm dressed like a king, and must work at Targets. It's like a big bullseye on them, because they robbed and killed the king. He says, and you dress in your royal robe and what have you, but I'm going to disguise myself. I'd have said something like, wait a minute here. No, that don't sound right. I'd have said something. So the king of Israel dumbed down and disguised himself, and he went to battle. Now the king of Syria what he commanded his troops to do. He says, don't worry about the small fish. I want the big fish. All right? Kill the king. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, except only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captain of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, dressed all fancied up, with the bullseye on him, it came to pass when the captain of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, and they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat boy screamed like a little girl. Wait, I'm not the king. Don't kill me. He cried out, I'm not the king. I guess I don't know what he said. What he did. He might have probably just rolled real quick. That's one thing I would do. Cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. My Lord. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man, now whether he knew it or not, I don't know, but a certain man drew his arrow. It says, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joint of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot, now they ended up really shooting the real king. Whether they knew it or not, I don't know. But it says, therefore he said to his chariot, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And it says, and the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself. And what did he say? He said, the flock will be scattered. There will be no leader. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening, and about the time of the sun going down. And the Bible says he died. Popular opinion. Almost got Jehoshaphat killed. Whether it was peer pressure or not, but he sure wasn't using wisdom. But I thought about Stephen, because people only want to hear that is good. And Stephen, when he preached the word of God, and he was telling the truth, the Bible said they gnashed upon him with their teeth. They got so angry, they stoned him to death. And I thought about how wonderful it would be to run into the type of saints of Ephesus. When they ran into him, they said, have you heard the Holy Ghost? And they said, no, we haven't heard. But immediately they went and said, and went and got baptized without a fight and fuss. Got baptized and received the Holy Ghost. But the Bible lets us know that Paul says in Galatians, in the first chapter, he said, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he says, well, through me, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade them, men of God, or do I seek to please men? Do you seek to please men, or do you seek to please God? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Amen. I I finished 2 minutes ahead of time. He said, get done before you observe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'm going to ask the ministers to come forward.